This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Boomer with the day off. He will be back tomorrow with us as we are at the Travelers in Cromwell, Connecticut. So Jerry Recco is in for Boomer. It's Jerry and Gio. This morning, the Yankees drop that suspended game, then win the second game. The Mets actually win again and show a lot of offense for Jacob DeGrom for once. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Greg? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And the one player in baseball that I'm fascinated by the most right now since Shohei Ohtani's been injured is this Juan Soto. First of all, I don't think he's 19 years old. There's no way he looks 19 years old. I mean, he looks like a mature 23-year-old man.
Yeah.
And the way that he... I'm thinking this guy is so good, they could watch Bryce Harper walk away at the end of the year and then be okay.
I actually think they might be better off if Bryce Harper walked away. He's terrible right now.
I know.
And this Soto kid is hitting balls to the moon.
That home run last night and just watching it again, I mean, it's unbelievable. And the way he stands in the box and he looks at the pitcher, it's almost like he's mocking him. At 19 years old,
come get me. I got you.
It's amazing. He's got a smirk on his face. He's staring him down. It really is amazing. And with Harper, you're right. I mean, the guy can't hit. I mean, his power numbers are there, but his average has been horrendous.
And he was bad last night again.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, in big spots, guys on base, two outs, close game, he gives you nothing. And, you know, this idea, and I've said this to Boomer many times, this idea that anybody is going to give Bryce Harper $400 million based on this year, last year was good, and the year prior to that, so you look at 18 and 16, where's the consistency for a guy that wants to make $35 million a year? Why? Why would you do it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that the Nationals are going to have a better shot of keeping him because that number's not going to be as high. I also don't know. I mean, the Cubs are going to be involved for sure. There's no doubt about that. I don't think the Yankees are going to be involved. So basically, it's not like there's a massive bidding war that'll be happening out there for Bryce Harper. So that's going to drive the number down as well. I mean, I think people really love throwing that out there because contracts that were handed out in Major League Baseball were obscene to begin with. And they're looking at Harper, who's going to hit free agency as young as he is because of when he came up and how young he was when he came up. And said, this guy's going to be a $350 million, $450 or $400 million player. And it's not working out that way right now for him. And what was interesting about Harper last night, and they brought this up on the YES broadcast. So this guy has had a beard all season long. And yesterday he shaved the beard off.
I wonder why.
So they're talking now. This is not the first time that the Yankees and Nationals have seen one another. But he shaves the beard off. And they're talking about it in the booth going, I wonder if this is to show the Yankees that he's can be a clean-shaven guy. And what I thought when I first saw it was, they were talking about how hot it was down there to begin with all day long. It was muggy.
It was 100 degrees like here.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny Gray was soaked in that second game. And also, he's been terrible, and you know how superstitious baseball players are. He was probably like, I'll shave this stupid thing off. It's 100 degrees, and I stink anyway. Maybe that'll be the catalyst for a hot streak for me. But I don't think he was showing the Yankees he could be clean-shaven.
No, but the timing is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
At least for you know, our purposes, for sure. But the idea that the Yankees would go out and get Bryce Harper, to me, makes no sense anymore. So I think you move on, you know, from that standpoint. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing, too. I know Stanton has had his troubles, and I think he will continue to have his troubles in spots. That line drive off the wall last night.
Right.
I mean, if that doesn't show you his sheer power, nothing ever will, because that was just a laser that he drives. It's like a fly swatter in his hand.
Right. No, I know.
And why is, you know, I don't care what they do in Washington, aside from, you know, how it pertains to the Mets. But why is Sammy Solis pitching to him? What are you doing?
I know. They were bringing that up. It just didn't make any sense last night. And this guy's real. I mean, he's great on the road. He's got better numbers on the road. It's not good at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if it's something about the sight lines or whatever. I don't know. But if he's going to go 0 for 4 with four strikeouts at a playoff game in Yankee Stadium, he's going to get killed, as we know. So he's got to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, last night, just enough offense to win. That was a big insurance run for them as they tacked on. And Sonny Gray, even when he's not bad, he's annoying to watch. He's just a guy who just labors and labors. And early on,
I agree.
I mean, he was good and he was working fast. And even the broadcast mentioned it. I was like, listen, when he feels good about his stuff, man, he works fast. And then a guy gets on and he slows down. And then he's walking around. And then, and he's sweating and there's balls in the dirt.
Yep.
But he was good and he got the job done.
He
did leave
okay.
In a tough situation.
Because here's the thing, if Jonathan Holder doesn't come in and do
great.
What he does, we're talking completely differently about Sonny Gray this morning.
Yeah, first and third, nobody out, two strikeouts and a pop-up, and he was fired up. That was awesome for him to come in that situation and get out of the jam. But, I mean, I've just seen such bad Sonny Gray starts that I guess that when you see one like that, and it didn't get penalized when he came out of the game first and third, and nobody out, you just have to take it and move on and be happy. But I don't want to see him, if I'm a Yankee fan, in a playoff game. He can't. That's one guy that I'd rather see Domingo Germán in a playoff game than Sonny Gray right now. Wouldn't you?
He's very inconsistent. He to me is exactly what, not exactly what we thought he is. I think when he came over from Oakland, we thought that he had the potential to be an ace. I mean, he's got good stuff, as everybody always says. He's essentially a 3-4 starter. I mean, that's what he is. And maybe on a bad team, he might be an ace. He might be a 2. On this team, he's their 3 or 4. And you know what? The way Sabathia's pitching, and if Tanaka's, he's your 4. I mean, that's what he is.
Right.
And so you hope whatever you get out of him is a bonus. The problem is you gave up some good stuff to get him. You need better. And last night he had an opportunity, and while he was okay, he was not great.
Right. And anytime that you have a lineup that's a little bit longer, a lineup that's talented, that's the one that he's in. And of course, it makes sense because, of course, a better lineup's going to give him more trouble. But that's when he just starts to slow down and grind. And every at bat seems like it's climbing a mountain. But the Yankees do get it done after that, the suspended game. And Soto wasn't up with the team, with the Nationals, when that game was suspended, right?
No, so you have all this nonsense. Now it's a pre-debut home run.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I mean, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But I mean, should he be allowed to be in that game, though? You know, if you think about the rules.
You can make that case because he wasn't here at the time.
And he won the game for
him.
Look at him mocking. Look at CBS Sports Network. I told you.
I'm coming after you.
He mocks the pitchers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There's no one having more fun than Brandon Nimmo than Juan Soto.
Right, I know.
I mean,
know.
That is it. He went up there like he knew he was going to launch that ball.
I know. He's just laughing.
Yeah, essentially.
He's just basically laughing.
I got this. Yeah, I don't worry about that stuff, honestly. Yeah. If you want to sit there and say on a technicality he shouldn't have been able to play, he's been up since. We saw him at Yankee Stadium. He's part of this team now. I understand it's part of a suspended game, but so what?
Yeah, and you bring up Brandon Nimmo, and again last night, the guy has an unbelievable game. Leads off the game
that
with
was
an
awesome
inside the park home run because he's busting it out of the box. He doesn't even have to slide into home because he is just flying around the bases. This is a team that he rooted for growing up in the Rockies.
By the
way,
that made me
there.
Feel old.
What? Oh, I know, right? Because the Rockies haven't been around that long. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And he hits another home run. He's smiling. He's got a 4-for-6 day. I mean, there is nothing better in professional sports as a fan when you have a guy like this on your team. I really, other than winning a championship, but a guy that you know cares as much as you do about playing hard, having fun, all these things. And because, I mean, in professional sports, especially in baseball, in a long season, this guy brings that same attitude, that same energy every day. And as bad as this season has been for the Mets, and they've got a little bit of a bright spot here with 3 in a row, but I really don't think it's going to mean much. I mean, this guy has just been the one consistent positive for them, and he was great, and he was a catalyst into a big offensive night for them, and it happened later in the game, but DeGrom finally gets a victory, finally get some run support, and we're not talking about how they blew another Jacob DeGrom start where he was phenomenal.
No, and it's funny because, you know, DeGrom had given up a few doubles early on in this game, and, you know, you're looking, you think, oh, God, is this going to be another one of these Colorado type of games? And it really wasn't. It was a low-scoring game. The Mets scored the sixth and the ninth, fine, kind of put it away. But in terms of Nimmo, it's like he's infectious. You know, all of a sudden, Michael Conforto is starting to hit a little bit better. You know, he's got that... that fun quality, is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
Where he's always smiling, he looks like he's having a good... And this guy's rounding the bases with a smile on his face.
I know.
You know, Soto might mock the pitcher and kind of smile and smirk at them. Brandon Nimmo is running around the bases as if to say, I'm having the best time of my life, and this is awesome.
Yeah, and if the Mets can somehow look back at this season and say, we've got something in every day in Nimmo... Michael Conforto found it again,
sure,
and put together a great second half. And if we could see a little more at Ahmed Rosario, I mean, then you feel better about where this franchise is going.
It's interesting you say that, because if Rosario turns out to be something, and I think he's got an opportunity to, we know he can play defensively. The question is he going to hit at this level? You know, all of a sudden, if Conforto is what we thought he was, and Nimmo is better than we thought he might be, and now you've got Rosario... For all these days and weeks and months where, you know, Boomer and a lot of others have said, you know, the Mets are kind of old and slow and boring, and they bring in the Adrian Gonzalez's and the Jose Bautistas, and like, what are we doing? All of a sudden, there's a young core here going forward that they can build around. And maybe the future's not as, you know, doom and gloom as we might have thought it was a week ago or 3 months ago or 6 months ago. Maybe they actually have something going forward.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, Nimmo's a guy that I have faith in continuing. I do think that Conforto's going to find that. He looks like he found his swing and be more consistent. It's just Rosario. What the hell do you have there? And since Jacob DeGrom started last night, of course, all the articles this
morning. I don't
want
to see it anymore.
And all the talk about trading him and how the Mets are listening, but it's going to take a lot. I've always said that Noah Syndergaard makes more sense than Jacob DeGrom, and what you should do with DeGrom is sign him right now. Buy out the arbitration years. Have that guy be the anchor of your staff as you do whatever you do as far as building this team the next couple of years. And if you want to be able to find a way, if you're out of it, to replenish the farm system, get some more young position players with big upside, then Noah Syndergaard would be the guy to trade. But, I mean, it's not like his value right now is at its peak. So,
well, but you know what? With Syndergaard, you'd be trading on upside, age, and velocity.
Right.
And you still, I would think, there would be teams that would be, you know, really intrigued by getting a guy, you know, the Thor and the 100 miles an hour and what he kind of can bring to a team. The thing for me about DeGrom, and I don't care that he's 28 or 29, I don't think there's a lot of mileage on that arm. The kid was a shortstop for most of his life, started later in terms of pitching at this major league level. I reward him with a contract now to show him that you're the guy. I mean, you are it. Right now, you're the best pitcher in baseball, and I think it's pretty obvious. You want to tell me Scherzer or Verlander? All right, fine. It's arguable. But for me, it's DeGrom, and probably because we see him every 5 days. But it's also the mindset. Like, that's the type of personality you want leading your team. That's the guy you want on the hill against the other team's ace every 5 days. That's the guy that's proven in the playoffs. He's done it already. We've seen it. We know he can do it. That's the guy. He's not a jackass off the field. He's everything you want. And the notion that they would trade him, unless you're going to get back for him, Mike Trout and a good prospect, I'm not doing it. I don't even want to entertain the phone call.
Yeah, it's just so unfortunate that the Mets have a farm system right now that is just ranked at the bottom of baseball. And, I mean, that's the only reason that you hear about it is, and this guy, of course, is going to be the most coveted starting pitcher on the market if he were being made available by the Mets, and then you can get everything back, and you say, all right, you're starting your franchise over.
I'll tell you what, man. You better be right on those prospects you're going to get back.
Right. No, of course.
Because that's all they are, prospects.
Yeah, right, absolutely, unless you're getting a guy that just got called up and you've seen something from him, like an Andujar or, you know, of somebody else's organization,
sure,
because those two teams won't trade. But I still think you fall out of it, and they already are out of it, in my opinion, but at the trade deadline, you know you're done. Jerry Familia, Noah Syndergaard are the two guys
that you can
trade and hang on to Jacob DeGrom and still get enough young players back where you feel like you took a step forward as far as building for the future. But I also think that, you know, the fan base right now, and I know that they're probably happy that they saw 3 wins in a row, But for the most part, they're disgusted because this is now back-to-back years where this team is falling apart and there's injuries and there's nonsense.
I can't write this season off, though, just yet.
Oh, you have to.
I can't.
You have
to. I can't do it on June 19th or whatever the date is, the 20th.
They're so bad. I mean, I know
they are. Listen, they're not a great baseball team, and I even said it yesterday when I woke up Sunday morning and I did not stay up to watch Saturday night's game. I was surprised they won the game. But you see them beat teams like Arizona, who, again, playing good baseball. Now, Colorado has not played great. I do understand that. But that's a good team over there. You see Nolan Arenado at third base. I mean, if he's not the best third baseman in baseball, I don't know who. And the plays he – I don't know if you caught it or if you stayed up to watch. He makes a double play last night on a ground ball with his body weight going the wrong – the arm strength is incredible. Point is, that's a good team. They beat them. I'm not going to get nuts. It's a 3-game winning streak. It's not a 13-game winning streak. But if this team has anything in them, if a kid like Nimmo can spark Conforto, if all of a sudden they get something out of Rosario, if Bruce's ass comes back into play and he can give you anything because he's been, no offense, he's played like garbage this year and he'd be the first one to admit it, you know, all of a sudden this is the team that we were talking about going into the season that I don't think anybody thought was going to be a great team. There's no reason they're not on the cusp of something. I don't think they're a, what'd they lose, 11 out of 12?
Yeah.
They're not a 1-11 team over the course of 162 games, and they're also not an 11-1 team like they started. But they're somewhere in the middle, and all of a sudden, if they give you anything here to find their way back to 500, now you've got something. At least you can look towards the future and even towards August and September.
Well, here's the problem. They'll be just good enough to confuse everybody as to who they are. And that's the worst thing you can do.
But see, I think you can still build while so you're talking about, you know, trading a guy like Familia or Syndergaard. Okay, they haven't had Syndergaard now for what feels like the whole season because of his tender finger. All right? Jerry's Familia, you know, these closers are a dime a dozen. And the Nationals, by the way, went out and got Herrera last night. Good move by them. Okay. It feels like he hasn't been very good any time he's been out there this year. So if you got rid of him, I don't think that, you know, throws your season out of whack.
Well, especially with Mats and Wheeler pitching the way they've pitched.
And I mean, Lugo.
Right. And, well, yes. And Lugo as well. So, I mean, but still, are they going to make those moves if they start creeping closer to 500? Or are they going to hang on to them because they say, this sends a message to everybody that we're giving up? And that's my fear.
But that's my point. I don't think that means you're giving up.
Yeah,
as long as the guys in the clubhouse know that.
That the front office is going to say.
If they start winning games and you make Robert Gazelman your closer and you trade Javier's Familia, who has not been good, does that send a signal that they're giving up?
Not Familia, no. But Noah Syndergaard.
Depends on the return.
And Noah Syndergaard, yes. But I mean, most of those guys are not going to be major league ready guys. You might have a September call up in there somewhere, but a lot of those guys are going to be prospects that you hear about and then maybe see the next year. So, I mean, at that point, you're giving away, you know, a top of the rotation guy players you're not going to see this year.
Depending upon when he comes back and when and if a trade is made. If he, I mean, they said he had, you know, he played, I love this, major leagues, he played catch. Great. So now he can catch a ball and throw a ball. I mean, how about pitching?
Yeah.
If he is only playing catch, how far away are we from him coming back from this tender finger?
It's just so annoying that they squandered so many games.
They
squandered so many games with great pitching and absolutely no offense, historically bad.
Agreed.
Offensive stretch. And instead, we're looking at a team that's 7 games under 500 after a 3-game winning streak, as opposed to a team that's around 500 or a couple of games over, still battling with some optimism. I mean, you know, even seeing what I saw last night, I mean, I feel like I'm looking at a team that's having a nice moment that's just going to revert to its old ways of being one of the worst teams in the National League.
Listen, the Cincinnati Reds won 5, 6, or 7 in a row at one point. They're not a good baseball team.
No.
You're right. They have to do it more, and they have to be a little bit more consistent. But I do think there is at least something there. I just don't think that this is a 50 and 112 loss team. I don't. I think they're better than that. They have to show us, though.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.